you can live out your MasterChef dream. When you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Hello and welcome to the Haunted Estate.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Haunted Estate. Here is the 9th episode. I do know I have been gone for some time. It was a computer which poo-pooed on me, of course, during my favorite month of the year. Anyways, it has been resolved, thankfully, and I am here to bring you another wonderful episode of The Haunted Estate. Yes, I am back, and as you hear, the music is all very different. Number one, yes, my computer had to be reformatted. My lovely Mac of 5 years, which never gave me one problem until my husband touched it, decided to poo-poo out on me. So I lost everything, starting from scratch. YouTube didn't like the first track that I played anyways. It was royalty-free music, but they decided that I was lying, whatever. We have new music, royalty-free, free for anybody to use. The names of them will be in the description box of wherever you find this. And where do you find this? Do you find it on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher? What else is there? Honestly, there's like 10 things now that this is on. Anyways, guess what? We are a couple days away from All Hallows Eve. First, we got Devil's Night. What are you doing? TPing anybody? Breaking into some house and just kidding? No, no, don't do that. And for Halloween, what are you guys being? I am being a haunted, creepy Victorian ghost, one that I would see floating around the haunted estate. And for this episode, actually, because it is kind of going to be our Halloweenish kind of episode, I'm not going to go into the history of Halloween. I feel like a lot of people know that. Kind of as a treat, I'm going to go into my haunted house, and not this house that I live in now, but the house that I spent my first 18 years in. And I've brought it up a couple times, but I don't think I would be who I am, done the things that I've done if I didn't grow up in such an active home. As I say to this day, when people question me about ghosts and they say, I don't believe in ghosts, I'm like, I wish I was with you. But the things that my whole family saw and friends of the family saw growing up definitely was something different. So what else was there? I don't know. If you are new to the episode, my name is Selena Myers. I am the host of The Haunted Estate, something that was established a couple months ago now. I had spent a lot of my life traveling across Canada and just a little bit over the borders working on paranormal cases. I am a home reader, so I usually get called in from other teams who have heard of me and things that I've done and have been documented. So that has been a very fun part of my life, but it all started back when I was a child, actually. So I'm not going to go too deep into it, but I do want to give you the history of where I grew up, no addresses or anything like that. I am from Woodstock, Ontario, Canada, and I was born in 1991, but my parents, as a younger couple, they actually had me at 30. I was their first baby, and they had me at 30, which is, I don't know if that was late back then. It could have been. I don't know. Nowadays, I feel like you're either a teenager or in your 30s when you have kids. Neither is really any different than the other, just what you prefer. But my parents had started in a semi and wanted to start a family. They got married and they had decided, you know, we really need a bigger house. So there was a very new street in Woodstock and there was a house. It had been built by the owners exactly what they wanted. And they lived there for 6 months and then the house went up for sale. So my parents jumped in on that pretty quick. It was their dream home. Beautiful, three bedrooms. It was one of those really nice houses that when you walk in, go straight up to the ceiling. You got the big chandelier there. You know, the stairs go up one side, hallway down to the kitchen another. You got your living room, dining room on one side, family room in the back, and the garage. Upstairs, three bedrooms and a bathroom with a hallway that runs throughout. Well, they bought this house it was right before I was born, actually. Actually, you know, it couldn't have been that much before I was born. I think it was in July of 1990. Yeah, it was July of 1990. And when they moved in, they started noticing very, very small things, kind of like a jewelry box sound, nothing really out of the ordinary. And they kind of cut it down to it being July and the windows were open. So they thought that it definitely could have been something like wind chimes or something along those lines, you know, a neighbor, a radio, you never know. So along with that were things that were a little weirder, were things at a child's height, like pictures on dressers or tables would be flipped over, or one on this side of the room and one on the other side of the room would be switched, little things like that, or tables being pulled out from walls, anything at a child's height. So that wasn't that extraordinary. But once winter came, the windows were shut and that jewelry box was still heard. And it all picked up when I was born. And my dad, who was not a believer in the paranormal at all, can recall things like walking with me down that hallway towards the front door. I just want to give you like a layout. Like you walk, there's this hallway, and for a good, I don't even know if I can remember this, a good like 10, 12 feet, probably longer than that, 20 feet? I don't know, probably not that long. You know, everything seems so much bigger when you're little. Was this hallway that looked up to the ceiling, and my dad literally saw, it was like this white ball. He saw my eyes following something, and he looked up, and there was this ball, and it bounced off the walls, and he was like, oh my gosh. And it was like a orbish type thing, and it just kind of disappeared. So he was like, okay, no way, I'm just not gonna do this. So as things went on, it was still things at a child's height, and there was one area in particular. So if you're in the back family room, there's a hallway. It's kind of like a T hallway, and it went straight through the hallway into the dining room, and in front of the dining room was the top of the basement stairs. And there were always these little tiny, you know, when dust particles kind of hit the light and they sparkle. It was like that, but bigger. And it happened at all times of day, at night, at everything, like these, like almost like lightning bugs. And that was something that was really strange to the family.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
And then moving forward, when I was young, this is another thing that just, it could be coincidence, but it really did terrify my father. But I would always talk at night, and I had just moved into my big girl room, and I was chatting and chatting, and my dad looked at my mom, and he's like, who is she talking to? Like, what is this? And he opened up my door, and he said, Selena, who are you talking to? And just like normal, I just turned around and I just said to him, the people on the wall. And he's like, what people on the wall? And I pointed at the wall behind me and I'm like, these ones. And he just shut the door and he walked away and he was like, I'm not doing it. Not doing it. So I just want to give you guys all the kind of the stories before I go into the history of the house and that property. But what's another one? Okay, when I was very young, too young to ever get out of a crib, especially on my own, like barely crawling, my mom woke up and I was in her bedroom. So there was no way for me to get out of that crib on my own. It was way too low. I wasn't even standing up yet. Like I had just learned to crawl and I was waddling around on the floor. So that was another one. When my mom was expecting my brother, she came downstairs and she did see this young girl underneath the table, and she could see through her, and she was wearing like a little nightgown and stuff like that. And then for me, I had this imaginary friend, and her name was Mary, and she was 10, and she had died, which was very scary for me to talk about. Somebody had died, but that was my friend, total away through the day. And I remember as a child, like, setting my stuffed animals up, making this barrier. And that was one thing. I lived there for 18 years and never comfortable. I was never able to sleep with my closet doors open. I was never able to like sleep a certain way. Like I needed to have my blankets up to my neck. It didn't matter how hot it was. Like I was just so scared, and I always had to have a light on. And that was something that I realized dissipated when I moved away for college. But my bedroom at the top of the stairs was obviously not the master bedroom, but the biggest of the other two. And it was strange. Like we used to see like somebody pass the window when we were pulling up to the house, and like being worried that somebody had broken into the house or something like that. And it was very uncomfortable. But some other things that happened, one night my mom woke up and there were two men in front of her armoire, and all that was lit was like the light on their cigarette. And that just blew her away. Cause like I like to say, like, I don't want to be a believer, but the things that I've gone through and the things that I've seen are just incredible. So incredible. There's so many. I'm just trying to pick some of the best ones. Okay. My dad was in Japan for work, and my mom's in a wheelchair. So I had put her in her chair in the morning, and she would stay in her chair until I came home at lunch. And then mom would get out of her chair and we would go have lunch and then back into the chair, that kind of thing. So I came home at lunch, just me, put her in her wheelchair, and she rolled into the living room to put some papers away. And she's like, oh my gosh. So I come into the living room, and there at our dining room table, each chair was like up against the table, balanced on one foot, and as soon as you touched it, it would drop. Like that's how delicately it was balanced. And I still have pictures to this day. And along with those pictures, when we were moving out, we had a really hard time selling this house originally. Like it was on the market for, oh wow, a year, and it was like crazy reasonably priced. So I was in there, I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to take off this terrible, I told my parents, I'm like, let me take off this terrible, terrible wallpaper, and maybe that will really help sell the house, something like that. So I stayed there one night, and I set up, you know what, that wasn't that night, that was a different night. That was when the door, okay, so that night, I'll just keep on with this story. I had a friend over, we were just going to like finish the wallpaper, have some drinks and go for a walk or whatever. Like the house still had power, but there was nothing hooked up. We just had sleeping bags. And her and I were at the front door getting our shoes on, and I was telling her about all the creepy stuff that had happened. And all at once, every single bedroom door upstairs just slammed, because I had them all open, airing the house out from earlier, but all the windows were shut. And at first, you know, I thought, oh, the windows are open. So we went upstairs. My friend just scared deathless. No friend would ever sleep over at my house. Almost anybody who stayed at the house experienced something. And it was kind of like a legend at the schools. And everybody knew about those, especially when the history came out about the house. But yeah, that day we went upstairs and all the windows were shut, and there was no reason those doors should have slammed. The furnace wasn't on, anything. So that was pretty, pretty spooky. But the other night, I had just moved home from college. I think it was the next day. And I was so determined to catch something on film, like so determined. I set up a laptop, which it broke, but I kept it because I need to get this video off it at some point. But I set up my laptop camera, turned on the light above this dining room table, went to sleep in the family room, just terrified. And I went to sleep, saw the light on, woke up about 4 o'clock in the morning, noticed that the light was off in the dining room. And in my head, I'm like, oh, you know what? Dad probably saw it was on, didn't want me to waste energy. I'm not going to like really chop it up to anything. So the morning comes, you see me like stumble through and get my laptop. And I go through it, and around 2:40 a.m., you see the one chair at the table pull out, like somebody backed out of it. And then a couple seconds later, the light turns off. And I was like, yes, like I got something. And I was like, Mom, we need to give the new owners this. And she's like, no, like, what are you doing? You probably did that and all this kind of stuff. Like, it's something that you always want to find an excuse for. You never want it to be real, you know? Like, things that people don't understand terrifies them. And it's not like anything terribly ever happened there. Probably the worst incident, we were setting up the table for Christmas, and my mom was in her wheelchair, and my brother was laying on the floor down the side of the table, and I was sitting under the table. We were all, we were teenagers. Like, I was probably 18, and he's probably 15. And my mom had one of those old silverware boxes, like the ones you open that are from like the olden days. And we're talking, and all the forks fly up and out of this. And they all like kind of land around my brother's head. And my mom was just like, oh my gosh. Another thing too, as a child, it's actually who I'm being for Halloween. I would always see this woman, like this Victorian-ish looking woman in this black dress. Like, it was always like this really black dress, but it was always out of my peripheral vision. So I know over the course of time, I'll tell you guys more about my gift and how it was noticed and stuff, but there were just so many things, like sleepover parties where someone would be like, who's the other, like, where's your sister? And I'd be like, who's my sister? And she's like, I saw, like, when I came out of the bathroom, like, I saw the little girl. And just uncomfortable, like, hearing that. So crazy this day. Like, I remember my mom reading me Harry Potter and laying in bed, and I had to sleep with my lights on. At this point in my life, I needed my lights on all the time. Like, all the time. There's no time that I couldn't sleep with all of them on, like your head over lamp. And there were five ones. And I had fallen asleep during Harry Potter. And my mom went and started her bath. And I sat up, saw the lights were off, which she had turned off because she thought I was sleeping. And I'm like, Mom! And as she's walking to my room to turn the lights on, they just turn on. And my mom was like, oh, maybe it's wiring. Like, just kind of like thought I think. So she's standing in my room looking at me. And I'm like, Mom, it's not wiring. And the closet doors opened, and I didn't sleep in there that night. But I'll remember that one. That's like one of my biggest memories. But I think I don't remember what the big one was. Maybe it was seeing the girl under the table. But my mom contacted the Historical Society, and she had them in, and they mapped out the property, and they were able to actually pull up what was there before, which was, oh my gosh. So the Nellis family was one of the founding families of Woodstock. And in Woodstock, there was a street called Nellis Street, which was given away by the Nellis family for a market. And they gave away, there's another street called Van Sitter, and that whole cemetery, the Van Sitter Cemetery, was donated by the Nellis family. And their plot is actually still there, which I have been to. But their cabin, house, whatever it was, sat directly where our house was, and that we were able to map out like where the bedrooms were. And one of those bedrooms was on top of the
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
At the top of the basement stairs where we saw all those lights and stuff. Now here's the kicker, guys. They had a bunch of kids, and they lost an incredible amount of those children to scarlet fever. And here's the best part. One of their names was Mary Agnes Nellis, and she was 10, and she died of scarlet fever with her sister in the bedroom that would have been located at the top of the basement stairs. Yes, it's true. We have come full circle. How terrifying is that? Honestly, to this day, that story freaks me out, especially because I drive past that house all the time, and I wonder if anything ever happens there. There's been a couple owners since I left. I don't want to say two or three. I know one of them was out of there pretty quick, but I also want to hope that maybe it was just us. It was more active with us. The house is a beautiful house, but it never stopped feeling creepy to me. Even as an 18-year-old girl, like, I was afraid to go do laundry downstairs. It was just a strange feeling. And I know there's been a lot of renovations in there. Every time it goes up for sale, I go on the listing because I remember with my husband, I was like, let's just buy it back. Like, I can fix it now because I know what I'm doing. Like, let's just go back. But at the same time, like, what if it is the same? And I don't know. The Nellis family owned an incredible amount of Woodstock. And, wow. Yeah, there was the Nellis family there. And that was at the late 1800s, early 1900s. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The thing is I really want to kind of package this episode up, like, write a letter and drop it off to the house, because I don't know who lives there now, but I drive by and they take such good care of it, and it just makes me so happy, because I know that on the outside, previous owners, they just didn't, if you know what I mean, but it just looks so fantastic now, and I hope that whatever's there, if it is still there, that it's just very positive. Maybe it just didn't like us. Like I said, it never did anything negative, but I do feel that if I didn't have those experiences as a child, it never would have awakened in me what I do now. And like I said before, I don't talk about what I do publicly. I kind of like being, like, in my public life, not too many of my friends and family know what I do, because I'm not eccentric. I'm not open about it, because people, they take away from it what they want to. And some people think, oh, cool. And then other people think, like, oh, no way, you psycho. And I don't like being thought of that way, because I'm definitely not. I love telling this story. I love explaining, you know, who I am and where I came from. But this house will always, like, anytime I have dreams about being in a house, it's that house. And I just wonder, like, how much of my soul is, like, in that house. And I remember moving inside of my bedroom had double closets, and I remember just, like, writing inside the closet, like, if walls could speak, because there's so many stories, especially a lot of sleepwalking stories that never happened at any other house but that one. Anyways, those are the story and history behind my childhood home. Sorry, no pictures, no anything. I want to keep it very confidential for the new owners. I'm hoping I get the balls up to drop this off. I really do. Tell them where it is and stuff. It'd be really cool for them. Or maybe they'll rip it up. Whatever. Their choice. Anyways, thank you for my story, and let's move on to something else.
Tell us your story by calling our toll-free phone number, 1-877-260-3428, or visit us at thehauntedestate.com.
If you love the podcast and you want to help us out, please do so by heading over to iTunes or whatever platform you listen on and make sure to rate us and give us a little review. You know, tell me you love me. Tell me you hate me. I don't really care. Whatever you choose helps us get noticed. Thanks, guys.
And now, a personal story from Ryan.
First, here's a little background information on me. I grew up in a small town outside of New Orleans. I was raised by my grandparents in a house that they had built by a contractor in 1964. I lived in that house from when I was born in 1983 until Hurricane Katrina destroyed it in 2005. Although I don't recall seeing anything paranormal while living there, I definitely had a few situations, which I heard noises that I couldn't explain. I've always been drawn to stories of the paranormal. My grandmother used to tell me stories as a child of ghosts, monsters, and local folklore. She was a very superstitious woman who grew up in a fishing community, basically a swamp in the 1940s. Her mother, my great-grandmother, was actually a local medicine woman and a ritualistic healer during that time. The story that I'm about to tell you occurred when I was about 12 years old. My grandfather, as many boys who grew up in the 1940s, was a huge fan of westerns. The house that I grew up in had a set of saloon-style doors that separated our living room and kitchen. One night, I was home alone and I had just gotten out of the shower. As I dried off, I heard the distinct sound of those saloon doors continuously swinging open and closed. It was a sound I was very familiar with from hearing them going back and forth. The doors were only about 6 to 8 feet away from the bathroom I was in, so there was no mistaking them for something else. They swung for about 4 seconds, then stopped. I knew nobody was supposed to be home, but when I called out to my grandparents to see if they would respond, of course, no one replied, and I became very frightened. I gathered the courage to peek out the bathroom to see if I could see anything. I stuck my head out of the bathroom door and observed nothing. No one, and saw that the saloon doors were motionless. As soon as I closed the bathroom door, I heard the saloon door swing open and closed again. I was terrified. I stayed in the bathroom for hours until I heard my grandfather's voice when he arrived home. I was very embarrassed of my cowardice, so I did not tell my grandparents about the encounter until months later. As for an explanation, I know my grandmother died in that house in the 1980s, but I don't believe it was her. I always felt it was more of a childish prank. Because when I was younger, I used to play with those same saloon doors until one of my grandparents would fuss at me to stop. It just seems like something a child would do, rather than an elderly woman. I hope you enjoyed my story.
Call and tell us your own story at 1-877-260-3428. Don't be scared.
Thank you so much, Ryan, for your story. I really enjoyed that one. There's nothing like a ghost just knowing that one thing that would completely terrify you. And that does sound like something childish, and that is something to think about. Child ghosts, that seems like something that they would do. As I mentioned in my story before, they did things at a child's height, flipped things over in those saloon doors. You know, maybe it was a child who ran through them, you know, one time, or maybe it's even like your grandmother, but she's like morphed back into a child and just having way too much fun with those doors. Of course, I have no idea what I'm talking about today, but that does sound like something fun. I couldn't imagine that. I know there were a lot of times in that house where I would stay in my bedroom or the basement or the living room, just having that. It's weird. You just know, you know, with those doors, you could brush it off, be like, oh, it's nothing. But that day you were like, I'm creeped out. Something is definitely going on that I'm super uncomfortable with. And that is something that's, you know, you can't say anything different. But to everyone out there, I really hope that you enjoyed this, the 9th episode of The Haunted Estate. We're almost hitting the double digits. Ooh. So yes, Halloween is on Saturday. I want to know what you're being. I'm going to ask on the Facebook page. Please come and like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/The Haunted Estate. It is a page. All you have to do is like it. Visit the website, www.thehauntedestate.com. There's another fun one. We have blog posts and, you know, lots of fun stuff for you to do. We got a cafe press store. If you're a huge fan, you can get yourself a t-shirt or something, or a cup. They even got like dog leashes and you name it. I haven't ordered from it yet, but I'm going to, I promise. Did any of you actually get out to Paracon in Windsor this year? My dog ended up very sick, so he didn't go. But anyways, thank you guys again this week. Share with your friends, share on Facebook, share on Twitter, and have a great week. Bye, guys.
You can live out your MasterChef dream when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.